Good morning, everyone. Pastor John Hubert here, and just glad to see everybody here. And just want to talk to you today as we continue our series on the book of 1 Samuel. We're going to talk about making godly decisions, making good decisions based on God's principles. I'm going to start with a story. In 1876, William Orton was president of Western Union, which had a monopoly on the most advanced communications technology available, the telegraph. Orton was offered the patent on a new invention, the telephone, for $100,000, which is $2 million in current dollars, which is a lot. He considered the whole idea ridiculous and wrote directly to Alexander Graham Bell saying, "After careful consideration of your invention, while it is a very interesting novelty, we have come to the conclusion that it has no commercial possibilities. What use would this company make of an electrical toy?" 2 years later, after the telephone began to take off, Orton realized the magnitude of his mistake, spent years unsuccessfully challenging Bell's patents. And we always see these cases of people that have passed. They passed and they said, you know, this isn't going to work. This is not a good plan. Or we make a decision, or maybe you've made a decision in your life. Life is full of decisions. And we want to make the right choice. We want to make good choices that are going to be the way we want our life to go and the way we want that God wants our life to go. So as we look back, we see in the Garden of Eden that there's the idea of Adam and Eve and that God would come and talk to them in the evening. And he would come and he would be with them. And how exciting that would be every night to kind of check in with God, just have a little conversation. And you say, well, that was easy for them. But then another thing you need to understand is even though that happened, think of what happened when they were by the tree making the decision whether they were going to sin or not. God still, even though they had that intimate relationship before sin, he still said, you need to make a godly decision here, and I'm going to leave it to you to make the right decision. God always has a plan to help us grow. There are decisions that we're going to have to make, and it's not always just going to be an answer from on high. It's not always going to be like Paul. When he's walking down the road, all of a sudden Jesus appears and blinds everybody and says, here's what you're doing. Well, that's pretty specific. But for most of our decisions, and most throughout the Bible even, the people in the Bible, we see all of the people making these decisions based on godly principles and not necessarily an exact word from God. We're going to find out in this narrative today how David has grown and he becomes more politically shrewd and he becomes more daring and he becomes better through the decisions that he has to make. Now what's interesting, we're going to start with 1 Samuel 27 today, and you're going to notice the absence of one word, and that is God. And you say, well, did God just disappear for a chapter? Well, no, of course not. But there are times we're going to see, in fact, in chapter 30, we're going to see David calling, and God is going to respond to him and say, this is what you must do. But in chapter 27, it gives us an idea of what it is like to live this life where we need to make decisions. In chapter 29, we're going to also go into that today, and that's going to show us how we're supposed to make decisions. So there's not a direct assurance from God, but he knows that God is with him. He looks back at his past, and he says, God has been with me before, and if I follow the godly principles that he has laid out, I know that God has a plan for me. And this is how we are supposed to make decisions. So if you look at 1 Samuel 27, starting with verse 1, it said, "Then David said in his heart, 'Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand.' So David arose and went over, he and his 600 men who were with him, to Achish, the son of Maach, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, and David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him." So basically the last few weeks we've been talking about the fact that Saul wants to kill David. Saul brings all of his crack troops. He's going after him. He flees to the wilderness. He flees into another wilderness. He flees into another area. He goes into another area of Israel. And he finally gets to the idea that no matter where I go, he's going to chase me. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I'm going to be pursued any place within Israel's boundaries, anywhere within Judah's boundaries. I am going to be chased. I have no choice. He says, and he ponders in his heart, and he says, what is my only decision I can make? Go over to the Philistine land where I know he won't go. And this has got to be an incredibly difficult decision, because you have to understand, David has done a little Philistine killing, to say the least, okay? There's a story about foreskins that we're not going to go in again, but you know the whole thing of Goliath. You know where Goliath was from? Gath. So let's go to the hometown of the guy, hit with a rock, knocked him over and chopped his head off, and then carried it around. But he said, this is the only option that I have. I don't have another option. He won't stop coming after me. And he just thinks to himself, what is my best option is to get away from him. And another thing you have to understand, he is looking out. And the reason, you look at this, you say, okay, it's really important. Why do they go through as the 100 men, the wife, everything like that? And we think about a Mother's Day. Sometimes we make decisions, and many times we have to understand that it's not just about us. It's about our families. You see, his decision is based on his 600 men who had their households with them, his wives who were with him. He says, well, maybe I can run around like crazy and Saul can run after me, but I can't take care of my wife. I can't take care of all these households. I can't do this. The only hope that I have is to step away from this. And so he determines the best possible possibility that he has, because Saul is crazy. He's pathologically crazy. He's going to come after him no matter what. Remember the last chapter? Oh, David, it's okay, it's okay. He's going to come after him again. He just knows that, because every time he says it's okay, the next thing he does is he comes after him. And so he goes to this king. And the last time he went before this king, he acted like he was crazy so that he would get out of danger with this king. So he's got a history here. And so he thinks to himself, if I go to Achish, Achish is the enemy of Saul. This is not the best option. And this is one thing we're going to see about this. In our sinful world that we live in, sometimes we have to take the best option available, not the perfect one. Because you're like, well, why would he go to, that's just terrible. What other option did he have? And sometimes you think, well, I wish everything was perfect. You know, I think my wife wishes that about me. I wish John was perfect. You know, I wish I had a better husband. You know, we think to ourselves, we wish that that was true. We wish that we made all the right decisions. We wish that the world would just line up the way to, but we live in a sinful world. We live in a world that does not have perfect options. And you have to make the decision that you have. And so it's a big commitment for Achish to say it's okay to come there. But we see the fact that David, although it is not directly stated, the way this is written, the narrator or the writer of this book is telling us that he is saying, God can take care of me wherever I go. This is my best option, and I know that he's going to be with me. And we know that God is completely working for David at all times. No matter where he goes, people are blessed around him. No matter where he goes, God is with him, because God has a plan for David and he's not going to let him go. And so we see David making this decision of the best possible things, and I want you to understand that this is going to be a theme, not a selfish decision, but that which is going to keep his family and others safe. I think that's a key to what decision. We're going to see more difficult decisions coming up. And so then David said to Achish in verse 5, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of your country towns that I may dwell, for why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. So he comes up to Achish, he's like, okay, I don't want to live in the city of the Philistines. I don't want to live in the main city. I don't want to have Achish looking over my shoulder, because God has plans for me, and it's not to live under a Philistine king. So he goes up to him, and he asks the right question, because if there's one thing we know about leaders, and I think we can all think of some leaders in our heads really quickly, they have an ego, especially political leaders. So what did you say to him? Oh, he wants his way, but he says, I just don't, I shouldn't be honored enough to live by you. The way you ask, so amazing. Just please give me a country town. Please give me a way over here. I mean, and that's what he wants the whole time. But he's smart enough to say, use your brains, in other words. Sometimes it's the way how you ask things rather than what you ask. You know, we can have an attitude about it. He was a very complimentary, and he asked for that. And you can see that his decision, the narrator's already telling us, this was a good decision, because it says in verse 6 that Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. In other words, his decision that he made, God honored it and gave that city to him and to all the kings that came after him. That was a good decision, and he made this decision for him. And so he came with his, like he said, his cloak of humility. He used logic and diplomacy to persuade his host. So when we're making decisions and we're looking for things and we say, hey, just things aren't opening up for me, I think there's this idea that we can understand from this. It's asking in the right way. And it gives him an indication of his strategy is working. Now, the next thing, this is something that is very difficult. And I remember having an ethics class when I was in seminary. And we would talk about this verse and a couple other verses as some of the most difficult passages about making decisions. Sometimes we have to make incredibly difficult decisions. Verse 8. Now David and his men went up and made raids against the Geferites, the Gizrites, and the Amalekites. For these were the inhabitants of the land from old, as far as Shur to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. When Achish asked, "Where have you made a raid today?" David would say, "Against the Negeb of Judah, or against the Negeb, or against the Jeremelites, or against," and he said he would say these things. Now, to stop for a second, where was he making a raid, and what did he tell Achish he was making a raid at? Those aren't the same city. I mean, you're not a geography major in Israel at this time, so you're not sitting there going, well, of course, everybody knows the Negeb compared to the, no, just the words are different, okay? He's telling them something totally different, is he not? And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking, lest they should tell about this us and say, so David has done. Such was his custom all the while he lived in the country of the Philistines. And Achish trusted David, thinking he made himself an utter stench to the people, his people Israel, therefore he shall always be my servant. Now, here's the deal. David was fighting against people, and you say, well, that doesn't seem very nice what David was doing. He was out and fighting against these people, and it says he wasn't leaving a man or a woman alive, right? And you think to yourself, well, this seems wrong. All the areas that he just described there were areas, if you look in the book of Joshua, you study the book of Joshua, and then you move into the book of Judges, you see that there were areas of Israel that were given to them. But because the people didn't follow God, they never took the cities. So he's fighting people, especially the Amalekites, because we saw that earlier, that Samuel had come to Saul and said, you need to wipe out the Amalekites. Well, they're still here. He didn't even do what he was supposed to. So this plan was, he was fighting against people, first of all, that were enemies of the people of Israel. So while he is doing this, he is fighting for his people, and he is making friends with the people of Judah, and he is keeping his own people safe. He is making this decision that I will keep my people safe. And so one of the ways that he does this is he gives money. It says he gives to Achish. He'd come back to him and he would say, here's some of the bounty that I took from these people. And he would give it to them. And then he would ask him, well, where did you raid today? And he would always name that he was raiding the people of Judah. But he was actually going after Judah's enemies. Now, here's the difficult question. Is that good that David did that? Is that good that David did that? Sometimes there are decisions that we have to make. And one of the most famous modern examples are the Christians who hid Jews during the Holocaust. And the Gestapo would show up and they say, we don't have any Jews here. We don't have any Jews here. They were lying. They were lying, right? And you say, well, that's not right. Is it right to let all those people die? So David is making a decision right here. And sometimes in this life, we have to make decisions the best option that we can make. And so he follows after. He looks at the Torah. He looks at the commands. And you can break this down. He is following the commands. He is doing exactly what Saul should have been doing. And he did as God's anointed. But he doesn't tell Achish this because he knows that this will cause problems. And this will cause his men not to be safe. And it's basically the equivalent of the thing I just talked about. And the most famous example would be Corrie ten Boom, who many of you have probably seen, you know, The Hiding Place and all of the things that went with that. And we think to yourself, well, she had to lie to people. She had to lie to the government. Well, we're supposed to be giving in to the government, right? And so it can be some of these decisions that we have to make are the best possible in an ungodly world. It has to be very difficult. Another example of this comes from the book of Exodus. When the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Zipporah and the other Puah, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him, but if it is a daughter, she shall live. So in other words, they thought, we're just going to get rid of all the men. Okay? They're just going to get rid of all the men. And the way they're going to do that is kill off every baby when they're born. But the midwives, it says in verse 17, feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. Okay, so they're already disobeying. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, why have you done this? And let the male children live. The midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So we don't have an option. And guess what verse 20 says? And God was really mad at them. No. Verse 20 says, so God dealt well with the midwives. There are decisions that we have to make sometimes, and they are really hard decisions. Now, we may not have to make decisions like this. We may not have to come to this, but I want you to understand, it isn't always easy. We have to rely on, you know, doing what we can do for the best. David's understanding here, and this is why he followed the Torah, was I will make peace and I will defend the families and I will keep peace with the people that are here and I will lie to the unholy king over here and keep the people over here safe. That was his choice. But he chose, he said, according to the Bible, that's the best that I can do. And you say, well, that's not, we live in an imperfect world. We live in an imperfect world. There are decisions that have had to be made like this in the past. There are Christians that have had to make these decisions. I remember we have missionaries in countries that we can't say. Guess what? They're breaking the law. Are they? Should they stop? Should we not go to countries that don't allow Christians and say, well, they're all lost in their sin. Too bad. You know, we're not going to send anybody there because the government said no. I went to one country and they said, don't tell them what you're doing here. Well, and don't look at the army guys right in the eyes. That was one of the countries I visited I will not mention. But it was interesting. Don't tell them what you're doing here and don't look at anybody. So you walk by the military, looking over here, you know. But it's kind of this system of we have to understand that there are decisions. We must follow God first. We must follow. So David got his position, fought for the people of Judah, tried to keep people, his family safe, and he said, to do that, I will do whatever it takes to make that happen. And that's a very important thing that we have to understand, that there are tough decisions that we have to make. And so, and it says Achish accepted his explanations and trusted David. What's really interesting about this, he did honor Achish, though. When you can honor the government, you should honor it. I've heard people say, well, you know, our government, they're just all evil, so we should just ignore everything they say. No. When they do something right, honor them. When they tell you to stop worshiping God, they tell you to stop spreading the gospel, you say, I cannot do that. I must obey God first. So it's very important that we have this understanding that God's answer is first. And so we see from this his obedience to the regulations, his obedience to the Torah caused him to prosper. And it's going to contrast him with Saul, who's losing his position. Then we go on to chapter 28. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army. Let's just stop for a minute there. He's been helping Achish. He's been giving Achish honor. He's not telling him everything. Now Achish says, you need to come and go kill some Israelites with me. David's in a bind. David is in a huge bind right here. He needs to know, what am I supposed to do? I can't kill people like this. I can't kill my own people. I'm the anointed one of God to lead the people, not kill them. So David gives him an answer. David has to stop and say, what can I say and not say? He says, understand, he says, very well, you should know that you shall know what your servant can do. What does that mean? Guess what? It can mean whatever you want it to mean. David gave him the best answer he could do. You will see what your servant can do. You know what his servant probably would have done? Killed all the Philistines. He just told him, he says, you're going to see what we can do. He didn't say, yep, I'm going to go kill Israelites. He gave them the best answer that he could. And like I said, these are some interesting passages where he has to make hard decisions. And so Achish looked at him and he took the answer the way he wanted to take the answer because he's, again, an egotistical maniac like most kings. And he says, very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life. Even though David probably was saying, you don't really want to bring me on this thing because you'll see what your servant can do. And it's not going to be good for you. So he has this little thing right here. So David, his answer, he designs to avoid a straight reply, but he wants to get out of the dilemma. He does the best that he can. And we have to understand, we do the best that we can with the situation that we have. And now it goes further. Let me just tell you, the author of the book of 1 Samuel, remember when you were a kid? This is going to date me, but I used to love the show Happy Days. Okay? Well, always wanted to be the Fonz, but never was. But anyways, they would always, at the end of a show, you could kind of sense like, it's getting really close to the end, and they'd go, to be continued. Now, do you remember what would happen when they did that? There'd be this, aww. They would have that sound effect come after that. You'd remember that because it'd be like, oh, man, we have to wait till next. See, at this time, for all you people that are younger, we had to wait till next week. You have no concept of that. We had to wait, and we had to make sure we were home at the right time and that the antenna was pointed the right direction. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on here. All right? So this is a to-be-continued because if you keep going here, we're going to see what Saul's doing at this time. And Saul is making the opposite decision, and we're going to talk about it next week. So this is a two-parter. Thank you. All right. All right. So we got a two-parter coming. So we are going to have this, but Saul is going to see a medium or a witch trying to get his understanding of what to do. And that's the next thing. So we skip over that. You got to come next week and find that out. Pretty cool. All right, so we go to verse chapter 29. It says, now the Philistines had gathered all their forces at Aphek, and the Israelites were encamped by the spring that is Jezreel. As the lords of the Philistines were passing on by the hundreds and by thousands, and David and his men were passing on the rear with Achish, the commander of the Philistines said, what are these Hebrews doing here? And Achish said to the commanders of the Philistines, is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me now for days and years since he deserted to me? I have found no fault in him to this day. But the commanders of the Philistines were angry with him. And the commanders of the Philistines said to him, send the man back, that he may return to the place to which you have assigned him. He shall not go down with us in battle, lest in the battle he will become an adversary to us. For how could this fellow reconcile himself to his Lord? Would not this be sure, would it not be with the heads of the men here? Is not this David, of whom they sing to one another in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands, and David his 10,000s. Guess what? The commanders are pretty bright. Because you know what happened last time? There's a story with Jonathan, where a bunch of Hebrews had said, it's over, we're just going to join the Philistines. And so the Philistines gave them weapons. And Jonathan went down, and God turned it so that the Philistines were fighting against each other. And then the Hebrews who had joined the Philistines started to fight against the Philistines. And then the Philistines, not knowing who was who, started killing each other. And there's a little shot in here about David. Is he going to use our heads? Remember whose head he took off? Remember that Goliath guy we had? He took that guy's head off and went, do, 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 do. Put it on a, you know, put it out there, put it in a temple, said, look at, I killed, I'm sure the head was very heavy. But I'm just saying he's carrying it around, and he's just saying, I took that person. And they say to himself, we don't want that guy here. We don't want him with us. And they're smart. And Achish is saying, oh, man, he's been good to me. And honestly, because he has shown me honor, he has been honored. He has given him money, basically, is a big thing. He's making a lot of coin off this guy. All right? He's making cash off of him. He's a good tax, you know, revenue guy. And so he says, he hasn't done anything bad to me. Why do you say that? Well, he's just going to turn and join Saul. And he's going to be like this. And Achish, they keep going back and forth. And they sing songs about this guy. The thing I want to stop and tell you right here, the point of all this is sometimes God is going to help us making tough decisions by having other people make decisions. There are times in the Bible, it's so true, that God uses people like Cyrus, all these people. He will take Pharaoh. He will take Nebuchadnezzar. He will take all these people, and he will just say, no, you're going to do my will. You're going to listen to me, and I'm going to make the ungodly people help the godly people make good decisions. So David is in a bind. He can't get out of this one. He can't say, you know, my leg's hurting today. I can't go fight. All right? He's stuck here. He can't do this. But God says, I got you, David, because you've always been faithful to me. I'm going to make a way for you. And then Achish looks at David and says, as the Lord lives. First mention of God. And whose mouth is it in? The ungodly Philistine who serves Dagon. So he even uses the name of the Lord here. Somebody's calling me. Don't do that. All right. And to me, it seems right that you should march out and in with me in the campaign. For I have found nothing wrong with you this day, from the day of your coming to me to this day. Nevertheless, the Lord do not approve of you. So go back now and go peaceably, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines. And David said to Achish, but what have I done? And what have you found in your servant from the day I entered your service until now, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king? So wait for that moment there. And Achish answered David and said, I know that you are as blameless in my sight as an angel of God. Again, God. It's interesting how God is using, you know, is pushing this direction. God's always on our side. Nevertheless, the commanders of the Philistines have said, he shall not go with us into battle. Now then, rise early in the morning with the servants of your Lord who came with you, and start early in the morning and depart as soon as you have light. So David set out with his men early in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, but the Philistines went up to Jezreel. God has a plan. Amen. Faithful to the plan. He was faithful. David was faithful. And God said, I gotcha. This one, I'm not going to make you do something. I'm going to make him do something. So, I mean, I'm just listening to Achish say, oh, you're just, oh man. We're just disappointed. David's going, thank God. I don't want to do it. I mean, he's getting out of this. And then he even says, though, David's having a little bit of fun here. He says, that I may go fight against the enemies of my Lord the king. David, we think, is saying right here, you dodged a bullet, Achish, because I'm going to serve God the king, and I'm going to serve my king, which is Saul over there, and ultimately I'm going to serve Yahweh the king. So you kind of, Achish had a fortunate thing here. This was providential for Achish, and it was providential for David. The decisions that we make, if we dedicate ourselves to serving God and we say we're going to make godly decisions, we're going to base them on the best that we can do and base them on helping other people and base them on this. And the other thing that's interesting is David is sent back to his city. And guess what's happening at his city at this time? The Amalekites are attacking them. And he is sent back at just the right time to go after them. Now we're going to see that. That's in 2 weeks. I mean, come on. It's coming up. You got to keep staying. I mean, we're going to have a lot of disappointments. I need to have like a to be continued on the back here. But the whole concept here is Achish. He is, the question has this, he is ambiguity, as one author said it, ironic ambiguity. Why can't I go fight for my Lord, my King? And he said it in such a way that it could be taken again in different ways. One author put it this way, and I'm just what he says, rarely do saints of the Old Testament have direct confirmation of their actions, though they hold resolutely to the belief that God is involved. Such examples remind us to submit our entire decision-making process to God and trust Him to enlighten our God-given reason and logic and guide us in our important decisions in life. We're reading this, and we see the end. We see what went on here. David's in the middle of it. He didn't see what was going on. He didn't see all of this stuff happening. And you know what? Most of the people in the Bible didn't see it. I'm still convinced we get to heaven. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. And God says, bailed you out there, bailed you out there, bailed you out there, 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 there. It'll take a while. Just for me alone, it's going to take a while. So everybody else is going to have to wait. Just see me like, you did something stupid. I bailed you out, you know. All right, God is always doing it. And if we see it in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, we don't always see the answer. We don't always see what God did. We don't always see, because right in the middle of things, it's hard to see it. When Joseph looks back at his life after being in prison, after being sold into slavery by his own brothers, he says, God did this for his plan. But in the middle of it, sitting in a pit, sitting in prison, I'm sure he wasn't going, this is a great plan by God. Loving it, right? But we look back and we see it. And rarely do we ever see completely the plan of God. So the conclusion of all this is we need to base our decision on godly principles. We need to base it on defense of the innocent, defending God-given principles. And understand that the Corrie ten Boom decisions of the hiding place with the Nazis coming to get the Jews, sometimes those decisions are going to come up. Sometimes they're, and we have to do the best that we can do to protect the innocent, to protect people. We have to understand that I'm not upset at all that we made the decision to send missionaries to fill in the blank country, and we have not followed the rules, because we have decided that to serve God is higher than anything else. And to help other people, love your God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Why don't we stand right now? For our prayer ministers to come forward. If you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus into your life, you've never made him the master of your life, you need to understand this. God has a plan for you. God created you so that you could be in communion with him, that the image of God would shine, that he could restore that image in you, that he could forgive your sins and make you one of his children, and to set you free from sin. And if you've not made that decision today, come and talk to one of our prayer ministers. Come and talk. And if you're here today and you just need someone to pray with you about something, come and talk to one of our prayer ministers. But I just want to remind you, God is with us. When Nick was singing that song earlier, Nicholas, the whole concept of God with us, Emmanuel. He is always with us. Even if, like we saw in that whole chapter, and I think it was on purpose that the writer did not put the word God there. He says, God is here whether I write his name or not. God is here no matter what is going on in our life. It does not matter. He is always here. We need to understand that. And he is here to help those who will follow him and make godly decisions. Lord, we've come to you today. We thank you, God, that you are with us. We thank you, God, that you help us through difficult times. But Lord, we don't always see how it all happens. We don't always see the plan that you did. And rarely, maybe we'll even see it in this life. But if we follow after you, God, instead of our own desires, if we look out for other people, we look for you first and others for second, and ourselves third, God, that we will see great things happen because we are following God. And Lord, we live in a sinful world, but we have a great God that can do amazing things. Let us always trust in you in every decision. We ask it down in the name of Jesus. Amen. I should probably turn my mic on when I talk. Go with God.